Hello, everybody. Gosh, I feel like it's been a while. You're listening to Outcomes the Sun podcast radio show on Lit Live. We're also on Spotify and YouTube. And I'm here with Melissa Yamaguchi, who is my wonderful co-host and my best friend. And we are, gosh, our lives are so full right now, aren't they?
Wow. I mean, I'm just glad it's full of things and not food, because we'd be rolling.
That's a sure sign we're overweight. No.
Calendar's looking fat.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot. I want you to kind of walk me through some, because what our audience probably may or may not know about you, probably don't know, is that you are in the beauty industry, but you are really one of the heads of the beauty industry for many, many years. So I want to kind of talk about beauty and your brain
Oh,
and
yeah.
your wellness, your balance, your feeling good about yourself, whatever. I'm going to let you go because I know that this is your wheelhouse and I'm super interested to hear.
I think one of the things that connected the two of us was this concept of understanding, your background in understanding mental wellness, and then my background in understanding the beauty industry. And when you and I began talking more, one of the things that I think that we've kind of skirted around, never really dove into, and we decided, let's talk about this together because we both know this. Beauty rituals are connected to mental health, and the consistency of the beauty rituals, taking care of the skin, the effect of self-care and self-love and consistency, releases the serotonin and the dopamine, which help the body with anxiety and depression and so forth. And we know in the beauty industry, it's an ongoing comment that if a woman wakes up in the hospital and wakes up and as she's healing, I should say, in the hospital, the minute she starts asking for lip color, lip gloss, lipstick, chapstick, we know she's starting to heal. Because when you don't feel good, you don't care how you look when you're really, really at the height. So the minute you start showing signs of, let me comb my hair, let me put on something for my face, then we know you're starting to feel better. So that skincare routine of self-care, self-love. What I know about skincare, and this is where we're going to dive into what you know, because you know quite a bit, is that dermal therapy helps with anxiety and self-consciousness. And it's that dermal therapy of really taking care of how your skin looks, paying attention to it, and having a routine set in place by you and your skincare esthetician or dermatologist, going through the rituals of cleaning the face, exfoliating once a week, whatever it is you're doing. We know how tightly that is associated, but what we don't talk enough about, it's more mainstream than it was certainly 20 plus years ago when I got into it. We know that what goes on the body goes in the body. And
What?
so not paying attention to what we're putting on our skin and by way of our hair products onto our scalp is really damaging. And so you and I need to dive into one of the ingredients that you know quite a bit about when it comes to skincare.
Well, there's so many ingredients that are great for skincare right now. There's so many floating around. I'm sure everybody, gets their Instagram feed or their Facebook feed of
Oh, yeah.
some the newest, latest, greatest, whatever. It's peptides, it's this, it's that. Now, all of these, and there are so many wonderful ingredients,
Yep.
but it's really about, I think it's really a bit, first of all, it's personal, right? It's like everything. It's like your mental health. We all find our that thing that works for you. One thing I want to say before I sort of dive into ingredients is that I think the skin, and you can correct me if I'm wrong about the hair as well, but I always think that my skin and my hair do a little bit better if I change it up. Like I
Oh, yeah.
rotate different shampoos with and different skincare because my face will, or I'll go through a bottle of something and I don't necessarily buy it right again, even if I love it, because sometimes I'll move on to a di something different and then I'll go back to it and I'll rotate
Yep.
because I think the skin likes the because your skin's alive. It's an organ. And one thing that you said that is so important that people really have to realize, that makeup, skincare, creams, all of these things, you know, sunscreen, when you're putting that on your face and it's full of chemicals that you can't pronounce, it's just like food. It's absorbed into your system. I mean, think about people that do bioidentical hormones will put the hormone cream on different parts of their body, yes, whether the wrist or, you know, the fatty part of your bum or, you know, your thighs or something like that. Now that's absorbing into your bloodstream, into your system. Why do we make this disconnect that that's not happening when you put it on your face? It's right, going into your system. That's so right. It really is important to be hyper aware of the things that you're putting on your skin. Somebody on Instagram, a young girl that has followed me for years, Caitlin is her name. And she asked me the other day, she said, I think that you care a lot about your skin. She said, aren't those sunscreens like that? They're finding out that they're, you know, those ones that are full of chemicals, that's not so good for you. And I said, no, they really aren't. And, you know, so I recommended a mineral kind of skin sunscreen that is, there's one called Skintology and it's got zinc. Zinc is one of the best.
Yeah.
It's hard if you just do zinc because it's, you know, it wipes your face. Yeah. It's not pleasant. But there are ones that are tinted. So it's like it's microlized and very fine so that you can put it on your face and it doesn't show. Because I would rather see somebody not put sunscreen on than put all those chemicals on their face.
Right.
And like you do, you wear a hat, right? You wear a hat.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Bobby will often say to me, look, that your best skincare is put a shirt on and wear a hat. And, you know, as I get older, this neck thing.
Oh, listen, mine stays covered up. I don't think you've ever even seen it in all of our years of friendship. I keep it so covered up. Yeah.
I think it's probably down there looking like a baby's butt because
it is.
You know what? You have lovely, lovely skin. And I am not the girl that can really claim that I have no age. I mean, I have so many. I always thought they were freckles, but now they're like expanding and taking up large amounts of real estate on my face.
You're creating your own geographical landscape. You said something about zinc, and I want to tell you, when I was younger, I played a lot of outdoor sports, and yeah, I would get fever blisters if I was out in the sun too long. And so I would have to put something on my lips, and my mother would always give me zinc. And wow, I'd be out there on the field with bright white lips, and I didn't care. I mean, I just did little mime things to entertain my friends. Right. I didn't care. I remember one time my mom and dad had not been able to come to one of my games, and I ran up to my coach and I said, did my mom leave you my zinc? And I think I was 10. And he said, here, use this. And he gave me Vaseline. And I didn't know. I was a younger kid. I was used to the zinc, but I mean, this is a coach. He's an adult. He should know, right? Marielle, the blisters I got on my mouth shot to my nostrils, and it went all the way around. I looked like I had a goatee.
Oh my God.
And I had second degree burns, had to stay in for the rest of the summer.
Oh my God.
That Vaseline just pulled the sun straight into my face.
Oh, wow.
It was horrible. Well,
it is horrible. My mother, I mean, probably a lot of you are from this generation. My mother used a reflector. She would go on her deck outside her bedroom with a reflector and baby oil.
Baby oil.
Chest, on her face. I mean, anyway. And yeah, I think we all did it a little bit. Put sun in on our hair and had orange hair. I remember going back to school and having completely, I looked like a skunk. I had it looked dark, even though I was ash blonde, but it was like an ash blonde, but it was kind of looked dark compared to an orange head of hair. It was horrible.
I remember seeing girls do that. You said, is it the same for hair and changing product up? It absolutely is. And something that you've often said when talking about exercising is how you can't do the exact same routine every day. You can't work on shoulders and arms every single day of the week. You gotta shift it up, and you shouldn't run. You shouldn't get on the treadmill. Sometimes you should do the bike or the elliptical or the rowing machine, whatever, swimming. So it's the exact same thing for skin and skin, because it is alive. Like you said, it is alive. And the hair industry, we're just dealing with this part that's right on the scalp. That's the part we're dealing with that's alive, because all this stuff on the end is just a history lesson. It's the ticker tape of history of what your health is. And by the way, a good hairstylist, like a good dermatologist or a good esthetician, can look at your hair and tell you how healthy you are. They can look at that hair and tell you, oh, have you changed medication? My husband asks his clients that a lot. When he sees the hair shifting, have you changed medications? Is there a hormonal shift? All because we are walking ticker tapes of evidence of how we live.
Absolutely. No, it makes so much sense. I mean, they do hair analysis to find out what kind of minerals you've got going on. That's amazing. If people are listening and they don't realize, Melissa is married to Billy Yamaguchi, who is a world-renowned hairstylist and also a really good friend of mine. Anyway, he's amazing. And to have the experience of having him look at your head and really do, and he does, he knows so much about you by looking at your head, or your hair, your head,
your scalp, everything.
And then, and then the two of you with your energy work. And then he looks at color and how it's going to reflect on the skin and, and how you look at your age, all that stuff. It's fascinating, but it is such an important part of our mental well-being is self-care. Yes. And skin being such a huge part of that, because we forget that our skin is an organ, it's absorbing things. And, I go to this wonderful girl named Pepper Prudy, and she's in Idaho, and she can tell if I'm dehydrated by the quality of my skin, whether it's, supple and bouncing back. And the integrity of the skin is such an important part of it. So it's not, and it's that comes from the inside.
Yes.
So what eating affects your skin. I remember when I was in my 30s and I was on a set, and there was a tremendous amount of stress being on a set. I was a television show where I played a lawyer, and I had just copious amounts of dialogue every single day. And I was under so much stress, and my skin was so broken out for 2 months. And it had to do with, I was drinking way too much coffee. I have coffee now, but I only have it in the morning. I was drinking way too much coffee. I was under so much stress and I wasn't getting any sleep. When the show was kind of over after the 9 months of shooting, my skin went back to normal. But we don't realize it's our habits affect the skin so much of it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not just, there's just not a magic cream that's going to solve all your problems. It's a combination of, am I drinking water? Am I drinking good water? Is that water being absorbed? I have enough salt in my water? And I don't mean Morton's iodized salt. I mean good salt that's full of minerals. People think that salt's really bad, but actually salt's really good, because you want it's really good for the skin. So it's all of these things. And then there's, of course, products for the skin that
Carol, before you get into that, can you explain when you said, is your body absorbing the water? What do you mean by that? Could you explain to the audience what you mean by that?
So if you think about drinking a ton of up my water drinking, whatever it is. But if you're drinking bad water or distilled water that is not spun, and I'll explain what that means too, but if you drink distilled water because it has no minerals, it's almost like it's it's stripped of anything. It's it's very clean in some ways, but you need to add minerals to it, because what it will do is it will pull the minerals that are in your body out of your body. So that's a bad water. And then if you're drinking and you're not absorbing, it means you might have a lack of minerals. So your body's not able to absorb, it just flushes. It keeps flushing. One of the things that, and here's another thing that's kind of cool. So I sleep very, very well now, but I didn't always sleep really well. And I used to wake up so many times a night to go pee, right? I tried not to drink water before bed, but even if I drank it, you know, several hours before, it was like I had to pee like every hour. It was crazy. So then I started taping my mouth because it's a breathing thing. I read the book, you know, by James Nestor, Breath, and we've had, you know, we've spoken to him. Haven't we spoken to him? I think we did. I think we spoke to him at some point. Anyway, so I tape my mouth closed when I sleep. And that is so it creates something called vasopressin. And vasopressin is an antidiuretic. And vasopressin will prevent you from having to pee. But it also enables your body to utilize the water, the hydration that's in your body. It's like it gets utilized. So when I wake up in the morning and I drink my water, I don't necessarily have to pee, you know, an hour later a lot anyway, because my body's used to utilizing water. But I do make sure that I get enough magnesium.
Yeah.
A little bit of potassium, not a ton, but you know, there's that is a very fine line, and sodium. I used to think, and when I say sodium, I really am not talking about Morton's table salt, and nothing to get Morton's, you know, iodized salt, but that's not a healthy salt. And that's the salt you don't want to do if you have a heart problem,
right?
You know, heart issues, right? Or high blood pressure. But Redmond's Real Salt is a really good brand. It's a brand of salts called Redmond's Real Salt. And what that is it's 65% minerals and what is that? 35% sodium. But we need sodium. I mean, you look at animals, you see animals out in the wild, like salt licks are really, they're very important. And we sort of have got, it was like the 80s with no fat. We did that with salt, but salt is very necessary for our bodies and for brain function. I notice brain function and muscle aches and pains. If you don't have enough salt, and magnesium is a big part of that too. If you don't have enough magnesium or salt in your body, you're going to have body aches like crazy. Way more, and when you're working out, if you don't get those things, you will feel so much more pain. Also, magnesium will help you sleep, but so sodium, the right kind of sodium, good sodium, is very important for you, because you know, when it's part of your mineralization, it's so good. So I just think, so water being absorbed in your body really is an important thing. And I was going to tell you, one of the best ways to hydrate is to drink water kind of consistently all day long, not go, oh my gosh, I didn't drink enough water today, and then drink, you know, 2 quarts before you go to bed. Because honestly, not only will you have to pee whether or not you tape your mouth or not, you will... all you're doing, it's like pouring water into a sponge, and then after what you poured so much water, it just starts shooting.
Yeah, all you're doing is making water. You're just making water.
So when you drink, you sip water throughout the day and just kind of always have it by you, that's the best way to stay hydrated. Because when you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated.
Too late, yeah.
Yeah. So I find that really interesting. And I think hydration and your skin is so important. It's why hyaluronic acid is such a big thing, because that's the moisture part of your skin. We make hyaluronic acid, right? But these products that have hyaluronic acid in it are good because it attaches to that molecule and helps, you know, make your skin more vital, and the presence of your skin really good. Peptides, they're finding that peptides are really wonderful for the skin. Stem cells, I don't know enough about them, but they're finding that stem cells are also incredibly important to the skin. Yep. My friend Pepper does natural filler with your blood. She spins your blood. She will take the kind of yellow, you know how you spin the blood and then there's a yellow kind of, it's almost gelatinous. It's very thick and kind of, it's almost greasy. And she will inject that into your face. And that is an amazing, it's totally, it's you. It's just a natural way to give yourself, and it reminds your body to, you know, activate that part of your body. It will activate your collagen. It's pretty amazing. She's really, it's extraordinary because she's very into things that are natural and healthy.
Yep.
I know. Okay. So you're injecting, that doesn't sound so, you know, normal, but you know, sometimes you just got to do a few things. But that there's just so many. And then one of the great things that people don't realize is CBD and is amazing for the skin.
Yeah.
It helps with inflammation. It's just a one, it's very calming because you know CBD has a calming effect. It's not THC. This is CBD.
It's the CBD, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of hemp farmers in the state, and because hemp is good for the environment. It removes a lot of contaminants, and a lot of farmers are using.
Yeah. So it's a powerful plant that it was one of the main crops that we had years and years ago. Hemp was such an important crop, and then it sort of all went by the wayside, and everybody thought you were, you know, growing pot or something. And it's sad because it's a very powerful and wonderful thing to be able to, you can use it for so many things. Bobby and I, my significant other, Bobby Williams, and I are creating a hot springs place up in Sun Valley, Idaho. And we're going to make the actual, you know, hot tubs, you know, that are, usually they're concrete. You put rock, you know, inside them. So it looks like rock, but we're going to do hempcrete because it's breathable and it's natural.
Yeah.
You know, our bodies like things that are in nature. So, and I really feel like the skin is such a, I feel as though if you can't ingest it, then you shouldn't be putting it on your skin. I mean, I really believe that. What's this skincare stuff that Bobby goes, do you think this is any good? And I go, oh my God, it's great. Look, and I put it in my mouth. It was disgusting. Didn't taste it.
Now listen.
Well, apparently you can eat it, but it
was Billy used to do that when Billy was formulating our hair products, he would taste it. He was tasting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Absolutely.
So yeah, there are many, many different ingredients that go into skincare, but I'm really loving what CBD and peptides and hyaluronic acid.
Yes.
And there are also incredible oils that you can add to that that highlight the skin. There's a lot of kind of Ayurvedic oils, that's the Indian, so the old Indian, you know, medicine that's been around for 3,000 years, and they smell so
beautiful. Like, they do.
It's incredible. So it's all those different things, and smell is important too, right? There's nothing worse than getting a skincare, and you're like,
since when are we doing sauerkraut facials?
It's so true. Somebody sent me something and it had all these cool ingredients. I could not stand the smell. I would just put it on it just didn't smell good. No, it wasn't.
Well, things need to be pleasing on all fronts. And I, you know, the one thing that you talked about with CBD, how it calms inflammation. I think that's something that it's not talked about enough. And what I know that when you and I first started hanging out, that you were kind of talking to me about CBD and the benefits of high grade CBD, and I knew what it was for ingesting it. I understood that after, especially from you when you were sharing all the information with me. And then as we're talking about what goes on the body goes in the body, with CBD helping reduce inflammation, can you imagine it's on your skin?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing that's incredible. It also activates the endocannabinoid system. It's the biggest system in the body, and nobody even realized it. There was this guy in Israel who discovered it and realized that we actually have a system called the endocannabinoid system. So hemp is CBD is kind of a part of us. So to activate it is a really good thing to activate it from the inside, but also externally on the face. So it has for lack of a better term, because it's so overused, it has an anti-aging effect,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
It's just gonna take puffiness away. It's calming to the skin. That's what
Well,
CBD is to the brain and the body. So it's gonna do the same thing.
I'm going to tell you what, I think we bring back the term anti-aging, and I'll tell you why without shame. Because we know from all the studies that we've done on longevity and researching all this that aging is a disease. So, yes, let's call that anti-aging. We are not wanting your skin to fall into the prey. You looking older is not an issue. All of us are going to get older, God willing. We're all getting older, but we don't have to age. So, I think we go ahead and say anti-aging, Meryl. We know. We know.
Well, and I think we've talked about this a million times, but I'll talk about it a million other times, is that just because you're getting older doesn't mean that you get complacent about the habits that you've had your entire life, right? I exercise, I used to eat well, I did whatever, but now I'm getting older, I'm, whatever, aches and pains. That is not
No.
the time to stop.
No.
That's the time to get really serious about it.
Yeah, this is the
And
time you need to start
serious
proselytizing.
about go getting, a facelift. I'm saying get serious about,
Get serious.
because, and also that's not it's not a bad thing to say. What I mean by that is I think the adventure of our lives is so exciting. So I want to see if I can get healthier and more vibrant and have my skin tone be wonderful at, I'm in my 60s, at 70 and 80. I
Yep.
want to know, I'm not saying I'm not going to have a wrinkle. I'm saying, but my skin is going to be vital. It's going to
Yes.
be hydrated. It's going to look good. I'm going to look healthy. I'm going to smile, and you're going to see that there's, and that beauty, if you want to call it, is really a reflection of my inner happiness.
Yes.
Really what
Yes.
it is.
I spoke to someone recently who's older, and he said something to me that took me aback. And so he said, I don't really do anything that bad for my health, Melissa, except twice a week I have a Dr. Pepper. And I said, oh, I said, well, and he said, I really like it, and I'm not going to give it up, and I feel I've earned it. And I said, earned it in what way? Because I've been pretty healthy, and now, and I feel like I've earned this. And I said, well, then why stop there? Why not call up a crack dealer and earn that a little bit? Because I said it's actually really bad because it's stripping calcium from your bones as you're taking it in. So to your point about as you're getting older, that's not the time to get lax and go,
Yeah,
I'm
no, it's like,
80, I'm
oh, and
75.
yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, parents of people that we know really well, like it's, and you look in their refrigerator, and I'm not going to name names, and it's just like Entenmann's and, like,
Yeah.
wrong with these products, but this has now become, oh, we do that. Well, we do this. Yeah, I guess we do it every night. Oh, yeah, well,
Yeah.
the fact of the matter is, if you did that once a month, I would say, yay, that's awesome, enjoy yourself. But if
Yeah.
it's a constant, consistent thing, just because you think,
Yeah, let's take that out of the beauty ritual. Let's take that out of the beauty ritual.
Out.
Make that a treat.
Yeah.
I like what you said. A treat every once in a while. A little treat. Go ahead. Right?
I mean, you should have a piece of chocolate cake on at somebody's birthday, but it's not like you have then every night at 9 p.m. because you have that chocolate cake. That warm. It happened again.
You hear a buzzer going off and you're, what's that alarm for, dear? Chocolate cake time.
That's the
And
crazy thing about sugar is that sugar will do that. It will set alarms off because it's like, you
if
did it yesterday. Why not do it
yeah. Knock, knock, knock. Yeah.
So
This is
good.
good. This is good stuff. We got so much, and you and I can go even deeper. We got so much stuff to talk about. I'm glad we talked about this because it's important.
I think it's really important too. I think it's really important to know that your skin it and your beauty and it's not about just, vanity beauty. Beauty is a reflection of your inner joy,
Yep.
right? That's that, and my mother, it was my mother's thing, and not my mother's thing, it was millions of women from her generation. She's as pretty as pretty does. But I mean
Yes.
that inner, what you're thinking. I mean, she was thinking more about probably manners,
Yeah.
but that is such an important part of who we are and how we show up. And that doesn't mean you have to show up flawless. It means that you show up like feeling like I'm alive and I'm proud to be alive and I'm aging, but I'm embracing it in a
Yep.
way that means I'm part of this. I'm still moving. I
Yes.
still care what I put in my body. I still care what my face looks like because that's self-worth.
I'm still participating.
Yeah.
I'm not just walking to the end, going silently into the night, that great night. I'm still participating. And I think that, I said this before, but my husband, kind of cajoled his dad into going to the gym. And my father-in-law is 88, and he resisted. He did not want to go. And the first couple of times he said, "Be gentle with me, son," because I think he thought that, Billy was going to stack on the extra pounds and, get that barbell up over your head, old man. But he really gently walked him into it. And so we went to for a checkup recently, and this young whippersnapper doctor came in after my father-in-law had already been in the room and was sitting down. And he said, "Now, let's talk about your lungs. Let's talk about your have you seen a rheumatologist?" And I said, "He doesn't need to." And he said, "Well, there was a recommendation to." And I said, "That was last year, prior to him going to the doc to the gym with his son." And the doctor anticipated that he might need to see a rheumatologist because his gait was so stiff and he couldn't really lift his legs and there was a shuffle. But if you had seen him walking in, as you should have, sir, if you'd seen him walking in, you would have noticed he walked in without a walker, without any aid, and his feet were lifting and he has a good gait. And I said, that's all due to the working out, the increase of good water, the reduction of bad things from the diet. It's there's all these things that the family has taken an active participation in, and the
I
doctor.
love that Billy made him like made him, but like encouraged him to lift weight. And now he's lifting so much more weight than how he started. That just that
He yeah
really
he's and here's another
impressive.
thing. He tripped and fell over something that was in his way that he didn't see right away. And so you trip and fall at the age of 88, that can be a death sentence because that can be a broken hip, and now you're having trouble.
Yeah.
He got himself up by himself. Nobody was around, and he got himself up, and you could see that he had fallen a little bit on his pants, but he had no beat at no scabs, no cuts on himself, but he had tripped and fallen outside, and he got himself up. He wouldn't have been able to do that. He wouldn't.
No, and he might have broken something had
Yes.
not, that's what weightlifting does. I mean, people, I can't accentuate this enough. When you train with weights, and it doesn't have to be super heavy, Bob is always like, you gotta do heavy weight. I'm like, but doing weights, it creates bone density. And that, oh
Yes.
my God, that's what we need as we get
Which
older.
helps the skin.
Yes.
Then
Yeah.
it holds up your frame. Yes, a frame is holding up the skin. Yes.
Yes.
We
Well, how many times do we talk about when people like they're skinny, right? They look skinny, yeah. But their skin is not, it's like there's no muscle to hold that skin up.
Yes. Yes.
And then the bone should be vital to hold the muscle, to hold the skin. It's all, they're all
it is.
Working. And you then, know, and then there's a whole thing about your, what's the web of stuff that's all over your body?
The collagen,
the sounds like collagen. No, wait. It's like everything, fascia is insanely important to, like, you know, I've started doing things where I activate, you know, fascial stuff so that you can get lymph going, but everywhere in your body, it's a sheath over everything.
Yep.
So they're really discovering how incredibly important fascia is. And some of these ancient, like Chinese and Indian techniques really dealt with fascia in a way that we have not been aware in Western society, like Qigong,
Mushu. That's right.
Because fascia is what's like actually healing everything. So it's the fascia that can get twisted and then cause your hips or your back to be out, right? So when you release fascia, you can release a lot of different, even structural problems.
I believe it. I sat oddly the other day, you know, crisscross applesauce, and when I jumped up, it was such a seemingly benign movement, but I was, you know, like something had happened to my ankle and I was like limping for the better part of the day, and till I put a Theragun machine thing around to loosen that up. And then I thought, oh, it felt like something was off track. And now I know, as you're speaking, it was the fascia. The fascia got twisted.
Right.
And it probably like a cord twisted me up. I want to say this because I'm dying to before we leave. Okay. At some point, we're going to need to make a Western Little Women. And I want one of the characters' names to be Pepper Purdy.
Right.
Please.
Pepper Purdy. Dang. She would like that. She was showing me the other day. She goes, oh, I love CBD, because I was asking her about CBD. Oh, I love CBD. I used to be a hemp farmer. And she showed me all these pictures of her. And she goes, I can run all the farm equipment. I can drive it all. So there she was when her daughter was very small, sitting on her lap. She was driving this tractor down the hemp field. I was like, well, indeed you did. This is no joke. And she's a big proponent of hemp being so important to, there's so many different things you can do with it. You can make material, you can do it, you know, like concrete and material.
Our naval industry relies on hemp for the sail, for the ropes and everything. Sure.
So cool. It's cool that we are, it's like we were in this industrial revolution kind of doing these things that were all became really important to our technical world. Now we're in this technical world. Now we're coming out and realizing that some of those simple things that were done, you know, decades and decades ago or generations ago, yes, now we see the importance of those things. And, you know, because you wonder, you know, that reminds me of something else. Somebody was saying the other day, oh, but you know, my grandfather, we were talking about health and wellness and food and all that stuff. Well, my grandfather, he smoked and he drank and he lived to 100. You hear this a lot.
Yes.
And he lived to 110 or 5 or whatever. And I'm like, yeah. And he lived in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And maybe he died, you know, a couple of years ago. But the main part of his life was a time that wasn't inundated with chemicals in the air, whether it's, you know, spraying things for our weather, whatever it is. It's like, you know, they lived in a different time. Of course.
Our soil was different.
What?
Yeah. Our soil was different. So the food we got was more nutrient dense. Yeah.
Yeah. And not everybody that's going to smoke and eat crappy food and, you know, have a scotch is going to live to 110. That's an anomaly. Some people's genetics are strong or whatever. I mean, you don't know the stress levels. That's what I find interesting, because the more research like you and I both do, we realize that at the end of the day, stress becomes the biggest proponent of people.
Absolutely. And they had different stressors, right? So, you know, you're walking across barren land trying to find your way to the West, or you're fighting off the OK Corral gun shooting, whatever it is. Anything, there's different stressors.
Yeah.
What we're finding now is stress can be good because it helps you grow and evolve, right? That's it's like changing up your exercise or your skincare routine. But the stressors that we have now, and I know we're both mirroring each other here, but the stressors we have now are coming at such a rapid pace that we can't catch our breath. And it's breath work that you talk about, that we've got to do. Slow it down, man. It
is. We do have to slow it down. And that's why, you know, it's why don't let up on these habits of silence and taking time to breathe and do a box breath. You know, I did that one commune thing and I talk about the box breath. It's so, so simple. Inhale, 4 counts. Hold 4 counts on the inhale, you know, exhale 4 counts, hold on the exhale for 4 counts. So simple. It changes the way you feel. It changes the way you think. Mm-hmm. Breath has an ability. It actually changes your consciousness for a moment. If you're in anxiety, if you do some form of very conscious breathing, and it doesn't have to be a box breath, but it's something where you count up, you hold, or, you know, and breath holds, but it changes your consciousness. It changes the way you feel if you're in anxiety or depression. I'm not saying it's going to solve every problem, but it will shift you into a place where you can make a choice.
Yep.
A different choice, possibly.
And then back to our original subject, which in turn relaxes the skin. Which is another benefit to the face and the skin and the skin on the body. Yep.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it was funny. You know, our friend Karen Dilworth, who actually has a show on Lit Live about finance. Anyway, she used to be my assistant years ago, and I was doing a lot of yoga back in the day, and I was doing yoga workshops, and I would do a thing and I would speak, but she said that I always looked better when I did yoga first and the breath work. I looked much more alive because, you know, your vitality is in motion. All of a sudden you're breathing more and you're just, you know, and my skin, and you know, you get color to your face.
Yes.
Like breath is going through that. You're oxygenating your cells and your tissues. It makes sense. It's complex and yet so simple.
Yep, 100%.
Amazing. I love all this. I just love it. I love aging. I'm not going to lie. I don't like the look of aging only because that's not how I think of myself. I don't think it's that I really, it's like depressing to me. It's just that in my mind and the way my voice sounds to me, in my mind, I'm like, oh, right. I'm not in my 30s. I don't even know what that age is, but I'm not that, I guess. But maybe I am that. And it's just the frame and the house is different.
You know, my mom asked this question to our clients at the salon all the time, because my mom will soon be 86 and still works every day. And she asked our clients, how old would you be if you didn't know when you were born? And a lot of people, they'll say, oh, well, you know, 82 or 75 or whatever they are. And they'll ask my mom, well, what about you? And she says, in my mind, if I didn't know how old I was, I'd think I was 55, not 86. So it's an interesting concept. How old would you be if you didn't know when you were born?
Right. Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm 36. Okay. I knew it.
I won't grow up. I Grow up.
Yes, my daughter. You're not. Oh my gosh, this is such a wonderful conversation. I love it, and I want to have more conversations about these kinds of things that I think that we're all curious about, because I think especially like skin, like
Yep.
I think people are really curious about what to do. Like as we get, it's another thing, it's like mental health. There's so much information out there. There's so many products. There's this, that, and the other thing. Maybe one day I'll bring some products to just show, you know,
Smart. That'd be
yeah, that'd
good.
be fun. I'd like for people to, and if you're just listening, I'll describe them. I'll say
Yeah,
what
and
they're.
then we'll give you the link to go look at, check it out on YouTube.
Absolutely. Very cool. Awesome. Well, this was fun. I enjoyed this. I think this was a wonderful conversation. I thank everybody for listening in today. You're listening to Outcomes of Sun with my amazing co-host and best friend, Melissa Yamaguchi. We are so always honored to be able to talk to you once a week here at the station and on YouTube and on Spotify and on Apple and blah, 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 wherever you get your podcasts. We're so grateful that you listen to us because we've got some big, cool things coming up. I think it's exciting.
We're going to be dancing
We're going to
even more
be
than we are.
singing. We're always singing, and you sing better because you actually know lyrics. I just make crap up.
My mom, you and my mom, except you can carry a tune. My mom can't carry a tune in a bucket. And she's always make I she you know I'll, there was a little town that I grew up in or near called named Verdon, and I don't know who he was, who the city was named after him, but some little teeny town named Verdon. And my mom would sing, "I'll never live east of Verdon." And I was like, okay, because we were living west of Verdon. Okay, whatever.
Sing either. It was so embarrassing in church because she would just all look at us and we'd be like, Mom. And she'd go, What? God doesn't care. I was like, Okay. Right, Mama. What do you say to that? She's. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Remember that you're supporting the Mariel Hemingway Foundation, which is a resource navigator. That's all we want to be. We want to be able to guide people to their best recovery for their mental health issue, wherever that is, whatever that is. We have not created that yet, but we are in the process. If you want to go to MarielHemingwayFoundation.org, you can see a little bit about what we're doing. And yeah, we're so grateful to you all. And we'll see you next time.